This is a Retina Independent Medical Education podcast with kind support from Novartis and Zeiss. In this episode, we will hear a discussion between Professor Ramin Tadioni of France and Professor Sebastian Wolf from Switzerland on the topic of outcome goals for anti-VEGF treatment.
How you get your patients for early treatment? So I think it's very important to treat early in the disease. How you manage this?
So basically, you are absolutely right. In France, we say the patient that have AMD, neovascular AMD, should be treated in the first week of symptoms. So basically, sometimes they come 2 days after. So we have just a few days to do it. So the first thing we have done is really to train all the people who will be the first line with the patient to accept this patient. So a patient asking for decrease of vision or metamorphopsia or something, they just identify or ask the question to the patient. And if they say that, they say, okay, come without appointment to the department. So to be sure that the patient is in.
Have you organized that they get then the same day injection? So
yes.
I think
usually if they arrive, everything done same day. Do you do the same? The same day injection?
Yeah, I think it's essential. Otherwise, we lose the patients because they have to travel twice. And so it's very important.
I agree. And especially for us, like I think even more in Switzerland, you have patients coming from far to the hospital. And it's complicated sometimes to go and come back the day after. And everyone is feel better if the treatment, the first injection is done as early as possible. And yes, we have a lot of data. I think you agree that showing that early intervention is better than waiting for a long time before the first injection.
And do you treat patients differently if they have subretinal fluid or infraretinal fluid? And what's about sub-RPE fluid? Do you care for sub-RPE fluid?
So these are very important questions. So I think I will not treat differently if I have a CNV that is beginning. So this is the first episode and the patients come with metamorphopsia. So I will treat them. The only points that may be different is sub-RPE fluid with no intraretinal fluid and no subretinal fluid or no neovessels, because sometimes these are just PEDs and they don't respond to anti-VEGF and we don't have to treat them. Most often the error I see is that sometimes you have the big PEDs and the edge, you have subretinal fluid, which is more related to the fact that retina doesn't want to make the whole curvature, something like this. And these cases don't respond to anti-VEGF, they don't need anti-VEGF. But sometimes it's more complicated than that. Not everything is clear cut like this. How do you do yourself?
I think, even if there's fluid at the edge and I see new vessels in OCTA, I would do treatment and it's some patients react with a sub-RPE fluid. I think if you do intensive treatment, let's say 40 to 50% react with sub-RPE fluid in these cases. So I'm not so pessimistic on sub-RPE fluid, let's say.
And like. You treat if they have symptoms or even if it's just
They need to have symptoms, of course.
Symptoms. Yes.
But of course, if there's a lot of subretinal fluid or intraretinal fluid, I would, and it's That's not different. Yet in the fovea, I still would treat them, you know, even and if the vision is good.
For the case, there's just a PED with just fluid on the edge and some symptoms. Would you do a loading dose or you do one injection or you do differently? I don't know. You do a loading dose.
I don't like the word loading dose. So we never do loading doses. We start from the beginning with treated extent.
Okay, which makes sense.
Which is okay, you do at day zero injection and 4 weeks later injection. And then if there's no fluid, we extend already to 6 weeks. So, but this is on total 10 weeks as compared with 8 weeks between the three injections. So this is a minimal change.
I agree. And it's simpler. I mean, somehow you just say, okay, that's beginning. We do this and we begin one protocol. We don't have to change the protocol. protocol.
Exactly. We have always the same protocol. We are simple-minded, you know, we can't think.
No, you are well-organized. Not the only reason we do some kind of what we call the loading phase, which is not the best term, I agree, is that we want the doctor to see the patient after 3 injections, just to be sure that we are on the right. Because my fear is that if there is any treat and extend, so if you see it yourself, it's not an issue, but in a department when patient may be shared, my fear is that, okay, fluid, we continue doing injection every month, but basically maybe we have to think again about the diagnosis. So it depends who is doing the treat and extend. If I do it myself, I agree, I do exactly what you said. But if I want to see the patient after a few injections, just to be sure that we are not fully in the wrong direction. But I mean, most of them, they are doing well.
So I agree. So
is there any correlation between the residual fluid, visual outcome, and is it important to achieve the maximum resolution and how to do it? So we have, I think sometimes we have some residual fluid. So what do you think about this?
So I think subretinal residual fluid is not dangerous for the visual acuity.
And that, does it mean that you will not try to get rid of subretinal fluid, or you try, and if you can't, you just say it's okay?
No, you know, I think this treat and extend, it's a different approach. Since you treat the patient anyway, even if there's residual fluid, but we have a certain amount of fluid we allow if it's stable, and then we extend. So we don't, if there's a very little subretinal fluid and this is stable over a few injections, we would extend.
Sure.
Whereas we wouldn't extend in a patient with intraretinal fluid.
I agree. But
sometimes intraretinal fluid is very difficult to get rid of. And to see if the treatment is working, sometimes we call the patient back 10 days or 2 weeks after the injection. And then we see in many cases resolution of this intraretinal fluid. And then we know it's still working very well, the treatment. We just can't extend more.
Yeah, I agree. And this is very interesting because I have also seen in some patients that you always see with fluids, you feel that it's not working. But the patient sometimes say in between, you know, when you inject for 2-3 weeks, I'm okay. But then I feel some decrease of vision. And when you see them 15 days after the injection, they are dry. And then there is recurrence. So you know that it's working, but it's not working for 4 weeks. It's working for 2 weeks. So you can continue still injecting. And if you get rid of the subretinal fluid and you extend, and there is still no intraretinal fluid, but the subretinal fluid come back, would you come back to the interval when they are dry, or will you continue extending? I ask you a very difficult question.
So it's difficult. We may not change the interval and see what's happening then. If there's more fluid, then we may go back. If there's stable fluid, we may try to extend. But I would not extend right away if there's subretinal fluid. I think to get the optimal outcome, some patients need more than every 4 weeks injection, and we should have drugs which have longer duration. Or the PDS system, I think this will be something very important to have continuous treatment, especially in these patients where we see after 2 weeks an effect, after 4 weeks no effect anymore. What do you think about this?
I fully agree. I think, yes, we have to consider new way of treatment and new drugs in cases that we can't handle with the old or traditional or the one we had before. So it's time to discuss PDS, bevacizumab, that are available in some countries. I think PDS is not yet available, still FDA approved since a few weeks.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's time to when we are at this stage that patient have monthly injection, it's time to think about something different, yeah, and to propose them something different. And basically, why in some patient we can't achieve this dry or normal retina? Dry may not be the best term, because it's just normal. So why do you think we can't achieve it?
You know, I think at least one group of the patients, they need more intense treatments than every 4 weeks. I think these are 20% of our patients. I think it's quite a number. So for these, we have the reasons. And then there are patients, they have, let's say, degenerative cysts, they have degeneration of the retina already, and then they have signs of fluid. We have to consider on the OCT, we call everything which is black fluid, but we actually don't know exactly if this is always the same fluid or the same material we see, which is black. And so maybe something different.
Absolutely, I think that's important to consider.
Lots of things to think about from that very interesting discussion. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Zeiss and Novartis. I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Professor Ramin Taglioni and Professor Sebastian Wolf. In the next podcast, the discussion will be on NAMD treatment protocols and therapy decisions. That's it until next time. And a reminder, there's more available on this topic at eplatform.uretina.org.